Hello and welcome to Two-Legged Tie, the show that is all you need to know about Derby City Rovers short of actually going to the game. You need to go to the games. My name is Martin French, back after an extended hiatus. And
how is Canada?
Canada was Canadian. It is the most easterly part of Asia, and I think we should celebrate that. Who else is with me today? Who's asking silly questions?
I'm Eric Major, and I still want to know what type of hat Canada is.
It's the best kind of hat.
And back with a very terrible voice is Augustus Winters,
who is actually going to Canada soon.
It's a month away, but yeah, going to Canada July 5th for the Women's World Cup final.
Excellent news. We'll be expecting a full report back from that.
Well, as much as I can remember, I expect to go there, watch the match, and then get absolutely blitzed and then get on the plane back home. That's the plan.
Well, first we should say that I want to apologize for missing last week due to illness. That was why there was no podcast posted. And while I've got you here, I'd like to introduce our new mascot.
Oh.
One Captain Martin Mayhem.
It was a fun gig. I would thoroughly recommend mascotting, except for the bit that you missed the game. I didn't see as much of the game, guys, so I'm going to be relying on you to clue me in on bits and pieces. It was quite a pleasant night. A little bit warm.
If you were paying attention to the weather, not so much if you were paying attention to what was on the field.
Well, take us through it. The first half didn't start the best, did it?
Well, we were down 1-0 in 55 seconds. That one hurt.
Yeah, that's not easy to get back from, is it?
Well, we've seen that before in other matches, you know, bigger matches where scoring within a minute usually ends up daunting your opposition completely out of the match. We were lucky to see Jonesy rebound with an equalizer on 14.
Yeah, well, let's start with the first goal we gave up. What happened?
Defense just broke down.
It was defensive broke down. The left wing, I've forgotten his name completely, just shot right past our defensive guy and cut it back. And right before our goalkeeper could get there, Polk.
Yeah.
Polk put a toe on it and just put it in the roof of the net before our goalkeeper could even get anywhere near it. And that's how it happened.
What do you make of it, Eric?
I think it was definitely a showing of a team that came out with intent. There's a reason why KW are currently top of the table. And that was a definite statement coming out. I don't remember who they played before and how they did, but they just came out hot. And they came out with the intent to run Rovers ragged and to absolutely dominate them.
That first half, when I was able to look, with the exception of a few seconds, and we'll talk about those glorious few seconds in a few minutes, they looked two or three divisions above us. It was bizarre because you wouldn't expect them to be that good.
Was it Andy that said that they had 75% possession for first half?
I mean, that's the kind of stats you expect from a Barcelona or a Bayern Munich.
They were getting run ragged because and one of the things that we kind of complained about as we were watching was Jonesy was on an island for most of the match because the flanks had to continuously track back because their wing backs. I mean, they really were. They were wing backs. They were just flying up, and they were doing crosses, and they were overlapping each other. The speed that they were able to bring off the sides was just too much, and it's just like there's nothing we can do about a minute and a half in. It was just it was just one of those bat down the hatches performances that you had to do. You know, we got pretty lucky with our equalizer, but other than that, we really were not in that first half at all.
I would disagree with that in some regard, that KW United was, they've been the most organized team we've seen in 2 years of PDL football. This isn't to say that London isn't organized. They just weren't nearly as menacing. London had the heart and London had the drive to fight back from one down, whereas KW just, they went out and they were organized, they had their set plan, and they executed it to perfection. All credit to them for that.
Mm. Well, in the four, I think I saw the old Derby City Rovers play a few years ago back in Christian Academy a couple of times, and I'd have to agree. KW were the most comprehensive-looking team I've seen in PDL. Now, I used to watch it down in New Orleans as well. There's been nobody who looked so comfortable on the ball, who moved so quickly, and it was like these guys have been playing together for 4 or 5 years. And credit to them for getting that together. To have scored an equaliser against such a well-organized unit is pretty impressive. Do you want to take us through it, gentlemen?
That was just a long ball from the back. Was not.
It was a long ball that found MacIver, who happened upon finding Jonesy on the cut.
Yeah, because I remember just seeing just one big long ball to Jonesy, and he just turned his defender and just ran right past him. And he's a big unit, Jones. And
he's very fast for a big guy.
Flew right by him and held him off just enough, like the tips of his fingers, and just slotted it right to the goalkeeper's left far post, and it was a glorious, glorious equalizer. Mm. And for, you know, that good 2 or 3 minutes, we were like, yeah, we're going to make a game of this. And then they just, yeah.
Then they started closing down on everything and started to basically eliminate every possible passing channel.
Mm.
It was comprehensive and an absolute lesson. In terms of watching, if you've not seen that, it's surreal and utterly fantastic.
I equate it to the Borg. You know, you've used the weapon against them once, and now they've assimilated, and now they know how you're going to beat them, and so they completely eliminated the possibility of that ever happening again. And that was, I mean, we had what, about 2 shots for the rest of the game? Three
shots. Wow.
Yeah, Jonesy had 3 more shots.
That was it. And at the moment that equalizer, there was still 70 minutes in the game to go. We had 3 shots.
Yeah.
That should tell you just how comprehensive this beating really was. The fact that it was 3-1 is a testament to our defense, really.
Yeah. No, credit to the guys for holding out. They held out for the rest of the half, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was 1-1 into half. No,
they gave up the lead on 42.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was a killing blow.
Lead right in front of half, and it was a scramble. Just in front of the goal, and it came back out to Follinsby, who just laced it, and it just went right over the guy's head, and it was just nothing you could do about that one. It's just a tough, tough, tough goal to give up right before half.
So that takes us roughly to halftime. So during our halftime break right now, tell me what were KW running formation wise? We generally run a 4-2-3-1. That's basically what we ran, from what I could see.
They kept moving. It looked like they'd kept doing kind of a fluid 4-4-2, 4-3-3.
Wow. No wonder they won. That's like about 16 players.
And a 3-4-3 at points.
They looked like they were doing the 4-2-2-2.
Where they looked like with attacking wingbacks.
With attacking wingbacks too. So sometimes it would look like it was literally 2-6-2. I mean, I know that's like not mathematically possible, but
it felt like
they had, you know, 6 or 8 people in the midfield just flying past our defense.
The old WM.
Yeah, well, they could go to that by times. So we're talking about a team that's basically operating off incredibly fast attacking wingbacks.
Wonderful presence of mind in terms of reading and knowing what their guys are going
to
do.
Yeah, they seem to be on just like a second level.
I mean,
KW, they looked like Eric said, they look like they've been playing together 4 years. The PDL is supposed to be guys that are just coming off colleges and whatnot, and you know, they're just kind of thrown together.
Mm.
These guys look like they've gone through a preseason and a bunch of training.
Yeah.
In January, February.
Yeah.
They honestly looked like a USL, NASL side.
Well, I know I was talking to some of the Canadians up at the top who were watching on. I think there was 3 players and a photographer / aide-de-camp, I presume she was. And I don't think there was a single Canadian voice there. I know every time I was saying taking the mick out of the Canadians, they were saying, "We're not Canadian." I know one of them was pretty much shouting in German, I think. So this feels like a very much more international side rather than just as it, I won't say should be, but as we expect, which is that of a team of players who are just out of college, basically on their holidays almost.
Yeah.
On the field, it sounded like they were speaking French.
Yeah, I thought they were speaking French. I'm pretty sure I heard French.
I don't doubt it, but I definitely heard German coming from the... So we're playing an international selection here.
Yeah. Even still.
Well, let's plow into the second half.
Do we really have to?
We may as well finish the game when we've gotten this far. We weren't doing too... I mean, 2-1's not an ideal score, but it's, you know, it wasn't a complete blowout.
No, it wasn't a tough battle.
It wasn't a blowout
a la... Well, we're recording this Monday, July 8th, which is the day after the German women just hung 10 on the Côte d'Ivoire women. But it wasn't that, but at the same time, it feels like it.
Or even KW United's next match, which we'll get to after.
Yeah, let's save the next game till the next game, or for a few seconds. So basically, it was a rear guard action throughout the game, you reckon?
Somewhere in there around the half, you had Tom Moody getting a yellow card for dissent.
Oh, God, yes, I remember seeing that. That was preposterous.
I'm still not entirely sure what the card was for, in terms of the dissent.
I believe... I kind of heard him. He said, "Are you?" He had gotten a foul that really wasn't a foul, and the ref called him on it. And Tom got up and said, "Are you bleeping kidding me?" And
he was bleeped for it. Then
that'll do you every time.
That's a shame.
And then you had Andre get a dissent, a yellow card for dissent.
I don't think that was dissent. I think that was for the foul. That was more deserving.
His was for the strop with the ball.
Oh, okay.
Did we feel on the whole that the refereeing helped the game or hindered it?
That was a terrible officiating performance. I'm still trying to figure out why Keane got the red card.
Well, the thing about Keane, Keane basically got... What had happened was in the middle. I forgot who the foul was on. But Keane came in from behind him, got the ball, but ultimately got the man first. And as the guy he fouled fell forward... He tripped up Keane, who tried to get his balance, and as he was trying to get his balance, trying to do that kind of awkward duck step, and as he was doing that, the guy he fouled rolled over, so he was in perfect position to get trod on. That, to me, is not a red card. Mm. I mean, I understand it is violent, and I know the reaction is one of visceral, appearance is like, oh my god, he's been trod on. I need to pull a red card. It was incidental. I mean, you saw him. I mean, the ref's looking straight at him. You saw him trip. You saw him get tripped up, and you saw him roll into his foot. Mm-hmm. That's not a red card. It sucks, but it's not a red card.
I'm sure you'll disagree with Augustus on this one, Eric.
I think that it wasn't. I thought it was incidental contact. From what I could tell, the man with the ball that McIver was coming up behind. Lost his footing, and it was just legs getting tangled up, and that's how I saw it, and I thought it was a bit of a hokey call.
So basically a robust challenge, an unfortunate...
Is it a completely accidental actors? That's it. It's an accidental thing. It
looked worse than it was.
There was no malice intended, and it shouldn't have been a red card.
Speaking of looking worse than it was, Robbie Tarver injured again.
Yeah, looked like he went down rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had two of our guys when he breaks this game.
And then you had Alexi go down later.
Mm-hmm. Alexi went down later, and Alexi looked like a lot worse for wear.
Yeah.
Robbie's kind of looked like a typical Robbie.
Injury. Yeah, war wounds. He'll be back next week.
Yeah,
well, hopefully so. I'm a little bit concerned about Alexi, though.
I am, too.
Any idea what it is? Have we heard?
Haven't heard anything yet.
Okay, well, we live in hope. Good people out there in the universe who may have something to do with Derby City Rovers, update us. We're very keen to know. It needs to be noted that a third goal was scored by the evil Canadians.
By Polk, again.
Polk again, was it?
He got a brace.
I didn't realise that it was his second. Talk us through it.
I think it was off a corner... we cleared the initial, and then it came back in because we had lost the ball, and Polk was just in... I think he just got a nice pass in from the flank, and was in the right place at the right time, got a nice hold on it, and put it right above our keeper's head, and that was three.
Right, we're going to have to round up on the home leg side of things, but they went on to play Dayton the following day.
The Saturday.
Yeah.
And... absolutely just destroyed them 5-0 in Dayton.
That's unexpected.
And I didn't see who the scores were, but I think Polk got another.
Handy player.
Yeah.
Handy player. Maybe we should look to see if he's available for the second half of the season.
or possibly see if you might be able to finagle him to come up.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a terrible thing. Importantly, what did we learn about KW from this?
They're really good. And if they're not champions, I'd be very surprised to see who beats them.
Mm-hmm. But
and it's not just because I think, you know, it's not because I think, you know, DCR is like the watermark or anything. Mm-hmm. We've got a good squad, but I don't think we're the cream of the crop. They took us apart so easily, and then they turn around and take Dayton apart so easily the next day.
Yeah.
Makes me think that they have a significant amount of talent on their team, enough to say that they probably will. I'll definitely say they'll win the Great Lakes. It's not a question. Okay. They have the chance to win the PDL.
Eric?
My thoughts on them, I think that they're an incredibly talented squad, and they further prove that this year it might seem like we're punching above our weight, but it's going to be good for us in the long run to play the better, more talented, more intellectual opposition, because it'll force our boys to get better to compete, which will only aid them all in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pleased, despite the fact that it was a loss, by virtue of the fact that we got to see really good football, and we got to see our boys, A, score a goal against a team that dismantled Dayton the next night, and B, that showed that they can compete. Even if it's not a complete performance, they can still be in there and they can still hang. I mean, we had a kid who was in high school who was playing the whole 90, mm-hmm. and unfortunately I wasn't able to get his name, so I wouldn't be able to congratulate him on his performance. But that says something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to be a good season. We just have to put this kind of as a learning experience and move forward.
Yeah, and we are once again in the same position as last year in that here we go again. We have a couple of old hands back, but this is so much more difficult a division.
Yeah,
so much more difficult. Who's top of the division at the moment?
It's London,
is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Where are we sitting at the moment?
We're fourth.
Okay, so we're above Dayton.
Yeah.
That's good news, at least.
We're above Dayton on goals conceded.
Mm.
And we're above Pittsburgh on goals for.
Okay.
Because you got three with 1 point in the mm-hmm. table.
Oh, I didn't realize there was three of us on the same.
And then rounding out the bottom, you have Tehran 3.
That's got.
We call them Tehran 3.
Tehran Trace, yes.
Well, Trace is Spanish.
They could be an international syndicate.
Oh, okay.
Either way, Tehran 3 as Tehran do, as opposed to do. The Toronto way appears to be to not do what you should be able to do with the resources you have.
Unless, of course, you're Sebastian Giovinco, in which case it's score bluters all day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, basically, they could probably get away with one man on the field at the top. Let's hope he doesn't fall down the ranks to us by the time we play them.
The other thing to note, too, is that KW United are currently a single point adrift of London at the top.
Oh, that's quite tight.
And Michigan are currently sitting in third with 10. They're 3 points off. So it's going to be it's tight at the top, and it's tight in the middle, and then there's Tehran 3.
Who are a point behind the rest of us, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so that's pretty tight still. Well, that's all for the home leg for now. Crammed a lot into what's basically nearly 20 minutes. So we're going to take a small break and come back and talk about that lightest and most comic of subjects, FIFA.
Tune in to Two-Legged Tie for all the madcap antics of the boarding crew and all the news that is news about the Derby City Rovers.
Welcome back to Two-Legged Tie. As was said previously before the break, we're going to talk about FIFA and this debacle that is whatever that's going on in-house at the moment in Zurich.
For the record, we personally did not promise to chug Bud Lights like John Oliver did, so there will be none of that.
But we will take 10% of anything that's going with the FIFA thing, just 10%. We're not greedy. We're not Chuck Blazer. And speaking of Chuck Blazer, our favorite cuddly bearded American.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, but there's nobody as cuddly as him because he's lined his insides and his outsides with the goodwill of the World Cup goers for the last 20 years, hasn't he?
Goodwill is a bit of a misnomer here for Mr. Blazer.
In an apartment with cats.
An apartment for cats. Yeah, Tower, $4,000 a month just for his cats.
See, he's not using it for himself.
It's a storage facility for him.
Has gone to numerous 3 Michelin star and 5 AA Rosette restaurants, waving the FIFA Black American Express Centurion card. He's the poster child for like 80s excess.
Except when you look at him in the face, he's not exactly Michael Douglas.
No, he's not.
He's Bro Ives.
Wow.
There's a blast from the past.
That aged you immediately.
Yes. I mean, his hair has gone grayer from having said that, to be honest. So, for those of you who have been living under a rock that's hidden by a bush, that's in the middle of a cave, that's somewhere in, Western Madagascar. Timbuktu is, they know all about this in Timbuktu.
Bhutan.
Bhutan is very aware of what goes on in FIFA. They're a big team, you know. They got through a World Cup game.
Gibraltar?
Yeah, we'll go with Gibraltar, actually.
Gibraltar's a nice place.
Yes, a lovely place, and they're all in bomb shelters because they're playing Germany this week.
Yep,
and Matt Letizier.
He's from Jersey. It's a completely different place. What kind of weirdo are you?
Anyway.
For those of you who haven't been paying attention, there was a little bit of a visit by the U.S. State Department to the U.S. Department of Justice,
Guys that don't screw around.
Exactly. They made a stop in Zurich, picked up a couple of people to take home for a few questions, a little bit of a chat, maybe a little bit of wine, I don't know.
Not but just Zurich. It was a simultaneous bust of the Zurich facility and the CONCACAF facility.
They got CONCACAF as well.
They also got CONCACAF.
That makes sense. Because
are they Panini stickers? Are they collecting them to take home?
I
Panini stickers of a sort. Well, only in this case, these are, these are federal indictments? Is that what they call them?
The Panini stickers some of these boys have been collecting is why they've been picked up. And these Panini stickers have pictures of people who aren't presidents on them. You know, like a certain founder of libraries would be more familiar to these guys than the first president of the United States. I'll go down through the names very, very quickly. They picked up quite a few. They picked up, I think, 4 different people who were involved in media sales, as well as Jeffrey Webb, Eduardo Lee, Julio Roca, Costas Takas, Eugenio Figueiredo, Rafael Esquivel, Jose Maria Marin, Nicolas Leoz. Warner's kind of picked up. I mean, the Warner thing is mad because
Jack Warner was picked up, then claimed that he was ill and needed to be released. Yes, he did.
Oh no!
Did you?
That's classic. Yeah,
claimed that he was ill, was released in a hospital. It was a sympathetic leave, and then 2 hours later was seen outside doing a pep rally to try and convince people of his innocence.
Why he hasn't gotten his own sitcom yet, I do not know.
Well, you should mention.
No.
This was revealed on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, who has done 2 fantastic pieces on FIFA. Jack Warner has bought 10 minutes of time on Trinidadian television to explain his role and the roles of other people that he was going to whistleblow on during the FIFA scandal. So wow. I believe it is Tuesday at 9 o'clock on Trinidad and television. There is going to be Jack Warner. The gloves are off. A 10-minute special made by Jack Warner to tell you what the issue is between himself and FIFA.
I'm still waiting to see if he's going to read that Onion article that he cited.
He did in fact read it.
Yeah,
but he thought it was real.
I thought he was going to cite that as part of his reason why he should blow the whistle on FIFA is because they moved the World Cup to 2015 in the U.S.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, Jack Warner. They got picked up the day before the FIFA election. The president of the Brazilian FA did a runner immediately.
Nothing to do with him being picked up, potentially, but he's back home and he may not be going to anything where he could be picked up.
Oh, I thought he was going to go to Argentina, like all the world convicts.
Brazil takes them too.
Well, they get caught in Argentina anyway. It's, you know, Brazilians and all.
Then we had Blatter re-crowned, which, to be honest, was no surprise to anybody who follows the game.
I'm a bit surprised it went to a second vote. In all honesty.
Well, it didn't, because Prince Ali bowed out, which was like, why? Why? I'm going to go all the way unless I have to go for a second
vote.
Going
to go all the way, and then we had six votes that didn't count for anything.
And then Blatter resigned last week.
Yeah. Well, to be technical, he has not resigned. He is simply saying he is laying down his mandate at an extraordinary FIFA Congress to be held no earlier than December, because you can't have congresses
within six months of each other.
But basically, Blatter has said at this extraordinary Congress there will be an election to vote for another president. What does that mean? Probably nothing. You're basically telling everybody, I'm going to take 6 months and I'm going to find a guy that I want to handpick, just like Havelange did before me, and say, this is the guy. Hey, all the people that voted for me, this is the guy. This is the guy. This is the guy. He's going to do exactly what I did. You like that sweet FIFA money you were getting, right? Yeah, I know you do. Here's the guy that's going to get it to you.
Now,
I don't see a massive change coming out of this.
Eric, your thoughts?
I think it's going to change. It's the status quo is going to remain unless something really big comes along to shake everything up.
I'm going to come in with the surprising end of the defense for Sepp Blatter.
Have a defense for this man?
I do.
Did he give you more than 10%?
No. Okay. And this is the thing. I'm not actually a big fan of Blatter. I don't think he was on the take himself, but I'm pretty sure he probably knew what was going on. He managed to work things cleverly so that basically he doesn't need to take the bribes. He gets $1 million a year, which is a significant increase on Havelange. And Havelange, there was a bad guy.
What I will say is this, that is the reason that RICO laws were made in America. Mm. Yeah, you may not take the money directly, but if they can connect you to it, you're just as guilty.
Mm.
And that is the reason why America, because we have the RICO law, I think there's only like three other countries like Italy and England are the only ones with
Italy doesn't have it. If Italy had it, you'd see a lot more in terms of indictments for match fixing.
No, that would be if Italy used
it. Forced it, yes, pardon me. Forgive me.
I think they have it because they tried their mafia bosses under the same type of laws. But, I mean,
well, this is the thing with Blatter. There's been a lot of anti FIFA stuff, and a lot of it I would agree with. And I am not a big fan of Blatter as a human. His talk about how we can improve the women's game by making it basically sexy football, how we can sort racism by shaking hands afterwards, how we can deal with anti-homosexual laws in Russia by not having sex while we're there. His general plans aren't great. However, what needs to be noted is most of the bleating against Blatter is coming from basically two sources. Europe, and chiefly prior to this last election, the English-speaking world. You're not getting complaints from most of the smaller nations. You're not getting complaints from Asia, from Africa, for the most part not from South America, and certainly not outside of the US. Really nothing loudly coming from CONCACAF. It's chiefly a European thing. And if you look carefully at the history of FIFA, you go back to 1974, you've got Havelange, a nasty bit of work, but he knew straight off, under the Roos administration, apartheid was basically approved and apologized for. If you were from Asia or Africa, you had one World Cup space between those two continents. Roos and the rest of the FIFA Exco at the time made a big, big deal about, this is how it has to stay. Africa's not ready to come to the World Cup, nor is Asia. Really, we're being overly kind by giving them one. The other thing that the Roos administration did was it didn't have a problem if you murdered loads of people. The Pinochet regime killed hundreds in the national stadium.
Thousands. It was thousands. That's at least 2,000 people.
Well, they certainly housed tens, if not dozens, hundreds of thousands in the national stadium.
That is an excellent ESPN 30 for 30 that they did, and Soccer Stories, if you can see it. I forgot what the name of it was, but
something very simple.
Yeah, it was
like
very
the playoff.
Simple.
FIFA had no problem with there being a World Cup playoff played in this blood bowl, and that was the Roos administration. Avalanche came in because, really and truly, the world needed a change from the European rule. And unfortunately, the reality is, the way that the rest of the world looks at UEFA, it's like, you guys just want to boot everything out, make it all about the Champions League, make it all about your 14 big clubs, which, to be honest, they kind of do. Now, here's the thing with Blatter that I think people have been banging on about. Oh, Blatter, he just paid all these countries money so they'd vote for him. And that's all he's doing. And yes, it's true. A lot of it was really, really badly done. In terms of it went into people's back pockets. I think all the nations were promised 250,000. FIGO offered all the countries about 1 million. Michael van Praag offered all the countries about 750,000, 800,000 in their programs for government. Prince Ali didn't, because Prince Ali didn't have a program for government. Now, I don't remotely like Blatter. I think as a human being, he's probably very nice to his family and to his friends.
And his girlfriend.
Probably her as well. But the reality is, in terms of being the best leader for FIFA, he certainly isn't. However, I cannot see under any of the many different people, Lennart Johansson wouldn't have helped develop a 32-team World Cup or allowed in the likes of, say, Saudi Arabia to have an easier access to the World Cup. No European representative, as in UEFA representative, in the last 40 years has really gone into a FIFA Congress looking like they're going to do anything other than line UEFA pockets. And UEFA is corrupt in and of itself.
Look, I get that. But what Blatter did, and this maybe this is not 100% on him, the system of backroom dealings, the system of, oh, you know, we're promising this much money to your country and we're all going to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony or a new ground. And, you know, I think I was reading an article, you know, Paraguay or some another country that started with a PF, completely forgotten, I apologize. They were promised 5 practice fields and development mm-hmm. fields for their national team. And this was back in early 2000. And you know how many have been completed?
Zero?
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds
zero.
Like an island nation, so it may be Papua New Guinea.
The famous one is Jack Warner's big $8 million dirt field.
Ultimately, there are people lower than him, and there are people in Exco, and there are people around him that decided to basically be big market embezzlers. I'm looking at the list of these indictments. Has Sepp Blatter said anything about these guys?
That I couldn't tell you.
That's just it. I mean, there's no. Oh, Blatter started this investigation. Blatter directed Valka, who's coming up as being almost equally corrupt, if not so much more so than Blatter. Valka, hey, look at these guys. Tell me something. You know, are they up to some shady dealings? Nothing. He just kind of existed. He was cool taking. He was cool taking the prestige of being FIFA president and walking around and being Mr. Big Shot, but it didn't change anything.
Well, he did. Not in terms of those things. He made sure there were more countries from Asia and Africa in the World Cup.
He gave Africa the first World Cup. He gave,
Asia the first World
Asia's
Cup as well.
First World Cup.
Ish. Towards the end of Avalanche, he was more important in doing more than Avalanche was anyway.
I'm not saying he didn't do good things. Mm. It's me giving $1 million to charity and then watching and then sitting idly by as I watch, you know, people throw puppies into a river. You can't
to
say he's
follow
an all
that
good guy.
Analogy. Think of all the money that we spent in the mid-80s sending to, say, Ethiopia where the big famine was, and how much of that actually got through to the people on the ground.
Very little.
Yeah.
And
this is the thing.
I believe we went after those people, did we not?
We did, and we're going after the other ones now. But the point is, the way that we operate it with our sort of basically Northern European approach, the English-speaking world has that throughout, is one that tolerates no corruption. But if you're operating, say, in Bangladesh, corruption is what gets things done, unfortunately. Bulgaria, it's true of as well. Russia, I don't particularly like it. But if one operates in a realistic world, the reality is, if some ex-person isn't wetting his beak, will things get done? Maybe not at all. Now, again, I'm not condoning
it. That's a sad state of affairs.
It's a realistic thing, though.
There's another thing to keep in mind, and this is, I think, something you and I have discussed, Martin, with regard to the corruption of points of view by the English media. The English media have been the ones who have spearheaded a lot of this, and a lot of the animosity and antipathy toward Blatter is based on the English media and their bitterness toward the fact that they haven't gotten a World Cup since '66. So if you keep that in mind, Blatter did wonderful things with regard to expanding the World Cup and bringing more nations to the table. It's a wonderful thing for world football, and I would completely agree with you on that. It gave giving a higher profile to the lesser federations, your Africas, your Asias, and giving them the opportunity to have their appearance. Say, for example, New Zealand being the rightful winners to the 2010 World Cup. I will argue that till I'm blue in the face.
You will go blue in the face, but carry on.
But the fact that these nations and these federations have a chance to develop their federations and their FAs and their leagues and to bring up these players who are of a very, very good caliber, because you're seeing a lot more of them showing up in the U.S., in Europe, in South America, that can only do wonders for the game.
Mm-hmm. And it's also helped create millionaires in many countries.
Yes, but all the same, though, too, you are correct in that in certain places, the status quo is you have to grease palms to get things done, or you have to scratch backs, or you have to, whatever euphemism you want to use to describe it, you have to partake in nefarious deeds to be able to get things done. And with that, all credit to them for adapting that situation wherever they were.
We could talk for another hour on this readily. I'm glad we're getting these guys, because these are the guys who are forcing it to be a case that we have to, corruption has to be the thing that's used to make things happen in some countries, because it is a depressing state of affairs. But I'm presuming we're all glad he's going.
I'll be happy when I see the back of him.
When that election happens and it's official that he is gone, then I will be happy. Until then, he's still got 6 months. He can do plenty of damage.
Eric, take us quickly through the some of the successors. I've seen about 15 different lists with some preposterous. Greg Dyke hasn't a chance of being FIFA president.
Greg Dyke literally spent the first 48 hours after the retirement announcement slagging FIFA for days on end. So there's no way he's going to get elected.
He's no more a chance than David Ginola does.
Ginola's another good one, too. Yeah, there you go. First and foremost, you're missing a name on your successor list. David Platt put his name into the ring.
David Platt.
Yes. Prince Ali, I don't think he should. He didn't really come up with much of a platform for his election in the first place.
He does have that song from Disney that he could play.
He does have
okay,
that.
Okay, he's straight into the lead until we hear whoever the next name is.
Louis Figo, I asked, you know, when he said he was going to bring back to football and do football, what it did for him, I was wondering, is he going to start throwing pig's heads at people?
Louis Figo, who said this and then immediately dropped out the day before the race. So,
yes, this is true.
How much of that do you believe?
It's because Mourinho wasn't in his ear. You've got Van Praag. I'm really not sure where he stands in terms of everything, in terms of his viability. Champagne.
I'm a big fan of Jerome Champagne.
You're big
Champagne.
Famine?
I'm a bit... That's racist against the Irish.
I was going to say.
I'm a big fan of Jerome
Champagne. You said it. Don't look at me.
Michel Platini.
I honestly don't think.
For the love of God, no.
I like Michel Platini as a footballer and possibly as a World Cup.
If you want to talk about making things Eurocentric, let's hire the guy in charge of Euro right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me Michel Platini at Saint-Étienne and maybe we'll talk.
I'd be behind that, actually. As long as he doesn't have to make decisions and stuff.
Hayatou from Cameroon. I'm not sure.
He's been spouted about a little bit. I think it's largely because he's the only name in Africa that anybody knows, which basically is news journalists being a little bit racist.
Sheikh Ahmad Al-Fahad Al-Sabah.
Yeah. That's easy for you to say.
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, he's the Kuwaiti guy, isn't he?
Yes.
He's like Mr. Big, so to speak, in Kuwait and Asian, or at least West Asian football. So he's certainly going to have a better chance of getting the Asian vote than Prince Ali, because Prince Ali at this stage, being so Englishly raised, is seen as a European candidate.
And to round out the list, we have Chung Mong-yoon.
Billionaire son of the Hyundai Corporation.
He's Korean.
Yes.
South Korean.
South Korean. He's actually started, it appears, touring around the world, talking to people about how it's terrible what's happened at FIFA, and I can change things because Blatter is terrible. So
you're the son of a billionaire.
Yeah.
How are you going to change anything?
In that he feels that he doesn't need to be bribed.
Stop. Right there.
I think
a name we missed that has been bandied around, Bill Clinton.
Seriously?
Bill Clinton has been bandied around. He hasn't thrown his hat into the ring, but people are going around saying, you know, Bill Clinton should run. Bill Clinton should run. And you know what?
Give him something to do while his wife's busy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's going to be slightly busy being the
first lady?
The second Bill.
The second Bill. But, I mean honestly, you know what? There are not too many people on planet Earth that are as much loved outside of America as Bill Clinton.
That is true.
So, the cigar industry loves him for what he did for them.
Ew.
Before we round up, guys, who's your least likely favorite possibility? Because Bill Clinton comes up high now on my list of...
The least likely guy is me. That's your least likely.
Augustus Waiters for FIFA president. Just send 10%, as usual, to the usual address.
I saw Zico named.
Yeah, I saw that as well. No, why? No.
I just thought it was an odd name.
You throw in Jairzinho on there too? What?
Yes, we're recreating
the zombie corpse of Garrincha for FIFA president 2016 by the time it happens.
If I had to pick one, I think I got to go with Ginola.
He's looking good.
Yes.
He looks very good. Well, I'm tickled by the fact that you mentioned today David Platt, world-renowned football administrator, and guy who scored that goal against Belgium, 1990?
Yeah.
Yeah. They, it's going to be fun. Nobody has any clue, realistically, who's a possibility. I think
I heard Eric Cantona, too. That made me laugh.
Cantona, who's suing the Cosmos for $1 million at the moment. He's not doing anything. Come on.
What? Is he suing
walk
the
up and be Joga Bonito, Seagulls following Traveler.
The last I saw of him, it would be more Waddle Up.
Yeah. I was expecting with everything going on that we were going to get Platini giving us, or not Platini, but get Sepp Blatter explaining us about seagulls and trawlers.
Man. Yeah, it's going to be fun. We've listed 7, 8, 10 names. We've no idea if it's going to come from any of them or from anyone we've heard of at the moment.
No matter who it is, we know one thing. Sepp Blatter's going to approve it. That's pretty much all.
More likely than not.
Yeah. Sadly enough. Where can we find you guys, The Boarding Crew?
We can find The Boarding Crew on Twitter and on Facebook at Lou Boarding Crew. And you can email us at louisville.boarding.crew@gmail.com. Don't forget to come out to the matches. We'd love to have you.
Yes. And you can find me doing things in places. More importantly, on Twitter at awaiters86. And you can find me with the Louisville Coopers at thecooperslouisville@gmail.com.
And you can also find both of them down towards the south end of the ground. I'll be wandering around wearing a hat and going, "Arrrr!" But their defending is shocking.